This afternoon, we want to continue our study through the book of Micah. And so if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to Micah. We're in chapter 5. And we're looking at what is happening to the nation of Israel and what Micah's message is to them. Now, just to give you a little background again into this, remember, at this particular time, the northern kingdom had been taken away into captivity by the nation of Assyria. The nation of Assyria had been founded many years, a couple thousand years before that, by Nimrod, as he founded three major cities in what is now, at this time in history, that Micah lived, the nation of Assyria. He also founded the nation of Babylon and the city of Babylon. And that's where he built his Tower of Babel, where God judged the world and scattered the people, and also caused the languages to be confused. Well, the Assyrian Empire had come down, and they had taken into captivity the northern kingdom of Israel. The reason they had is the northern kingdom of Israel had become apostate. They were worshiping false gods, and they, for the most part, the majority of the people had abandoned the true faith. They'd set up they were worshiping at false worship centers that were idolatry, and idolatrous worship had been established way back under Jeroboam I's rule, and had only increased under the other wicked kings of the north. At this time, Hezekiah would be coming to power. And as Hezekiah came to power, Hezekiah was a good king. He was a king of the southern empire of Judah. And he was the king during the time of Isaiah and Micah. And as Hezekiah was the king, the Assyrian Empire was preparing to come against Jerusalem. They had conquered some of the outlying cities, and now they were getting ready to lay siege on Jerusalem. Micah came, and he is speaking to the people, and he's calling them out for their sin and calling them to repentance. But he also is laying forth God's promises that God has given to them. And this morning we're going to be, or this afternoon rather, we're going to be looking at the promise that he gave of the coming Messiah. And Micah gives an interesting statement in that he's going to show to us where Jesus is going to be born. And he's prophetically stating this about the first coming, and then he also makes some statements towards the end of chapter 5 dealing with the second coming of Christ. And so let's take a look at chapter 5 of Micah, beginning at verse 2, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 15. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he cometh unto out of thee he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that he which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him seven shepherds and eight principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many people, as a lion amongst the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass that in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to see the prophecies dealing with Israel, but not only dealing with Israel, but your first and second coming. And Lord, help us to be encouraged to know that even though Micah lived thousands of years ago, you are the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word is true, and your word shall be fulfilled in its completeness. Lord, speak to us through your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the prophecies dealing with the first coming of Jesus was where he would be born. Now it talks, Micah says that this deliverer is going to come out of a Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now the reason that he says Bethlehem Ephrathah instead of just Bethlehem, there are two Bethlehems in Israel. There's a Bethlehem way up in northern Israel, up in the northern shores of the Galilee. But there's also a Bethlehem that's just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem, and this is Bethlehem Ephrathah. It's interesting that King David was born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. That is his hometown. And we see that this is not speaking of David because what? David had already been born, David had ruled, and David had died. So this is not King David they're speaking of, but it's one that's going to come to the throne of David, and he's going to be born in the same city as of David, and he is going to come of the line of David. And we know that this is speaking of Jesus, and it's interesting that this is one of the prophecies that was given hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and yet it speaks exactly of the place that he would be born in, and that would be Bethlehem of Ephrathah. Now, if you remember the account of the nativity or the birth of Christ, you know that at the time that Mary was found with child, she and her fiancé Joseph were not living in Judah, even though he was of the tribe of Judah, and he was of the lineage of the house of David. He was living in Nazareth. Nazareth is a city that's up in it's northwest of, it's well, really just a little bit north and mostly west of the city of Capernaum. Capernaum is right on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and this is where Nazareth is. And that's where Joseph and Mary were living at the time that she was found with child. Well, how could Jesus be born in Bethlehem? Well, as we know, and the accounts are given in the Gospels, the Roman Empire had come to power, and the Romans ruled over Jerusalem. And they determined that all people should be taxed and a census should be taken. And in order to get a proper and accurate census, which they wanted, something our government doesn't feel is necessary, but the Romans did. And one of the ways that they determined that they were going to get an accurate census, everybody, even though they may have moved from their home and city of origin, had to go back to where their family was originally from so they could get an accurate census. We know that both Joseph and Mary were of the house of David. That was their lineage. And they were from the Judean region. And so they went back there, and it was at this time that Mary delivered Jesus when they were back in Bethlehem. And we know the account of that, but Micah foretold that. And we see that the Lord who knows the beginning from the end, speaks of that. And he said that even though there were a lot more prestigious cities, one being Jerusalem, only a few miles away, and in Jerusalem you had the temple, in Jerusalem you had the thrones of the kings, and yet Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem. And he was born in the most humblest of all means, and this is the way and the manner in which he came the first time. He didn't come as the conquering king, but he came as the humble servant. And he came to take away the sins of his people and to pay the penalty for his sins. So Micah is speaking of this Messiah, this one who is coming, and that he would be the ruler of Israel. Well, was Jesus ever the ruler of Israel in the first coming? The answer is no. He came into Israel. He offered himself to be the king of Israel, but the people rejected him. When he first came in riding upon the donkey on Palm Sunday, the people were praising and crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hallelujah to the Son of David. And we see that they were crying out for salvation and that he would be the one that would deliver them, but they were looking for him to be a earthly king, and they didn't really understand that he had come to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and offer himself in that position to Israel. It was only a few days later that many of these same people were crying out for his crucifixion, and they rejected this one who had offered them and come to be their king, yet instead he came to be their Savior, which he needed to do, because this is the plan that God had established. Therefore he will give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So what does he mean here? Well, he's not speaking of, because we know that Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah, was delivered from the Assyrians by the power of God, supernaturally, during the time of Hezekiah. And that the Assyrians did not conquer Jerusalem, and they did not take it over. That came later under Nebuchadnezzar. But the thing is, what the Lord is saying here is that this king, who is being born in Bethlehem, there's going to be some events that transpire between his establishing his kingdom and his coming the first time, or his birth as the God-man in Bethlehem. And some of these events are going to be that God's going to deal with the nation of Israel. And we see that one of the things that he's going to do here is that they're going to be scattered, or that they shall be sent out, and then they will be brought back. Now he says in verse 4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall be great unto the ends of the earth. For now he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. Was Jesus ever fulfilled that the first time he came? Well, the answer is no. As a matter of fact, he was despised and rejected amongst men. But there's coming a day where he will be known in the whole world, and he will be viewed as great unto the ends of the earth. When is that going to happen? That is going to happen at his second coming. And so we see here that Micah speaks both of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, when he came as the infant God-man, born in Bethlehem, and then he speaks now of his second coming, when he will be acknowledged throughout the whole world. And we know that from the book of Revelation, which we'll be studying about the millennial kingdom a little bit in the future, Sunday morning sermons, we know that the whole world will come to Jerusalem to pay homage and worship Jesus when he rules during the millennial reign. And so that is yet a future event, and Micah speaks of that here. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Now the scriptures don't give us 7 shepherds' name and 8 principal men, but whenever that type of description is given, it means it's going to be the Lord is giving a complete victory, or he's coming with a complete answer to the issue and the problem, and that those that he sends to deal with the issue will be able to deal with it completely. Now, the Assyrians here have two meanings. It's the Assyrians are really the Assyrian country at this time that Israel's facing, but also there's coming a day in the future where the whole world is going to attack, and this one who is going to come is going to come in the spirit of Nimrod against Israel. He's going to be someone that is like Nimrod in the sense that Nimrod really was possessed by Satan and worshiped the demonic and was against God and everything he stood for. As I mentioned at the beginning of the message, Nimrod started the cities that became the Assyrian country. The Antichrist, which we've been studying in the book of Revelation, comes in that spirit. He is a spirit that's against God. He's against the God of the Jews, and he stands in the spirit of the occult and the satanic. And he is going to come against them, but the Lord, this one who is that is the Redeemer and Savior of Israel, shall come and be able to defeat him. And it says here, "And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders." And we know that happened during the time of Hezekiah, that the Assyrians were pushed back by the power of God. And it wasn't the Israeli army that did it, but it was the power of the Lord that delivered Israel. And we know that at Christ's second coming, Israel is going to be in more dire states than even Hezekiah was in Jerusalem at this time, and that Jesus will come as their deliverer and redeemer and push them back and defeat them. "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as dew from the Lord." Now, was this happening at the time that Micah lived? Well, in some degree you might say it was, because the northern kingdom had been taken into the captivity by Assyria, and later some of those people, along with the southern kingdom, would be dispersed into the Babylonian kingdom, and later into the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, and they would be dispersed throughout the land. But that isn't really the complete dispersion that he's speaking of here. What is he speaking of here? This is looking into the future, and he's speaking of a day where they shall be dispersed throughout the whole world. And that came in 70 AD when the Roman Empire overran Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and they dispersed the Jewish people throughout the Roman Empire, and later they were scattered throughout the whole world. And as God says, just as it says here, they became as dew on the ground. And if you look at dew, dew is not concentrated. It's everywhere. When you have a morning where it's real humid and the temperatures are just right, you go out and you don't just have one little spot of dew. It's everywhere. And that's what he's saying. These people are going to be scattered everywhere, just like dew is in on the ground. "As the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people." And that happened, and it occurred from 70 AD until 1948, when Israel started coming back. But prior to that, they really had been scattered amongst the Gentiles. That's where the Jewish people were living. They didn't have a nation of their own. Even though they were all recognized as Jewish people and always have been recognized, yet they were scattered. And we know that many of them were concentrated in Europe. There were some that were even as far as into China and in Asia. Some of them were in Africa. And we see that they were really scattered all over the earth. And just as Micah said, that the remnant of Jacob would be scattered amongst the Gentiles. And then he goes down, and it says in verse 9, "Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, till thine enemies shall be cut off." Now, How is that going to occur? Well, first of all, he brought the Jewish people back, and the clear picture of that isn't given in these particular verses, but we do have that in other places where it talks about how that the Lord will whistle and all of his people shall come back to Israel. That's happening in the day in which we live. And I think that the world events you're seeing right now are going to result in many people returning to Israel eventually. I don't exactly know how it's all going to happen, but I know it will. And part of it's going to be the anti-Semitism, which is going to come up, where the Jewish people shall be persecuted, and that they will view that the only safe place they have to go is to Israel, and many of them will go back there. And there are already many people have declared Aliyah, that is to return to Israel, and have returned there, even as God said they would. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. Well, now, what is going to happen, and what day is this? Now we're jumping ahead again, and we're seeing this at the second coming of Christ. What is going to happen with Israel? Well, Israel is reliant upon its own military strength. At this particular time, during the time of Hezekiah, they were as well, relying upon their horses and chariots to defend themselves with. But we know that in the day in which we live, Israel is very reliant upon its weapons. And one of the things you can see is they've got one of the most powerful armies for the size of the army of any nation on earth. And they've got their systems can do amazing things, like their Iron Dome that protects them from all the thousands of rockets that Hamas and Hezbollah have showered Israel with, yet very few of them got through. They've got this Iron Dome. We know that their air force is one of the greatest air forces in the world. They buy planes from the United States, and they do things to the planes that they won't tell us what they're doing, but they make them even more powerful than they are when we sell them to them. And so consequently, they have a very strong army. But there's coming a day where they're not going to be able to rely on that army. We know from other scriptures that they're going to have this false peace treaty that's coming with the Antichrist. They will willingly lay down their arms for him, but then he's ready to attack them, bring the whole world against them. They can't defend themselves with their weapons, and they have no weapons to defend themselves with, but the Lord shall come and defend them. He shall defend them, and he shall come as their power and redeemer. And it says here, not only that, and I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. Now, what is the reason that he's coming against Israel? And even today in Israel, much of Israel is secular, and they're holding to still a lot of these things. What are the strongholds that he's going to cut down? Well, he tells us, I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand. Sorcery, idolatry, witchcraft, and he says, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. They were not supposed to have witches and soothsayers. They're not supposed to consult with mediums. Yet Israel was doing that. Today you see much of Israel, especially over in the region along the coast, you have a lot of people that are New Age in their thinking. They're doing a lot of these things, albeit under modern terms. They wouldn't use soothsayer, but yet that's what they're doing. They're consulting with occultic beings through their New Age philosophies for direction. But the Lord's going to cut them off. And he's going to, thy graven images also will I cut off, thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt have no more worship the dark of thine, thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. In other words, it's not going to be worshiping man. It's not going to be worshiping our abilities. It's not going to be worshiping the demonic. God's going to cut it and remove it all. Well, has that happened at any time in the history of Israel? Well, under Hezekiah, it did for a short period of time. But when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh was the worst of the worst kings. And he brought all of it back. So it didn't happen, according to what the scripture said. Well, did it happen under Josiah? The answer is no. It happened to a degree. There was revival under Josiah. But what happened as soon as Josiah died, it all came back. Today, we see that even though Israel is coming back into the land, Ezekiel said that they would come back as dry bones. They would have no spirit. They would have no flesh. They wouldn't have any life, but they would be back in the land. And then God would gradually give them and put bone upon bone and sinew upon bone, and then he would give them flesh and he would breathe life into them. And the picture is being given that even though they came back without any relationship to God, one day they would have this relationship restored and this new spirit would be born into Israel that had once been in there at the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see that this is going to occur. And these events will occur when the Messiah returns. There's not going to be any of this wickedness in Israel when Jesus comes back. It's all going to be destroyed because Jesus is going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to be worshipped in the Temple Mount, in the temple, and all of these wicked things will be gone as he destroys them all. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Has that event happened? Well, at various times in history to a degree, but not in its fullness. But this morning we studied that the day is coming where it will. Jesus is coming to be judged to those who are not his people, to judge them, who have not accepted him and who will not worship him. He's going to judge them. That day is coming. So we're seeing that there's two comings that Micah speaks of. The first coming is when he comes as the Messiah, the God-man, born in Bethlehem, and he would come to be the Redeemer of mankind. The second coming is when he returns to deliver Israel, to destroy all the wickedness, and to judge the heathen. That's the second coming of Christ. One of the problems that the Orthodox Jews and the ultra-Orthodox have is they don't see two comings. But the Scripture clearly speaks of two comings. It speaks of it here. It speaks of it in other portions of Scripture. And we see that the first coming, Jesus himself, as he read out of Isaiah chapter 61, the two comings are given in Isaiah. The first coming is he's coming to be the Redeemer. The second coming is he's coming to be the Deliverer and the Judge. And so these two comings are spoken of here, and it really shows the following three things. So we see that the following three things are spoken of in the passage we looked at. First of all is the fact that the nation of Israel rejected the Messiah, and they gave in to all of these occultic activities, building groves and idols. The second thing is that there was going to come a travail where the world would come against them, and they would need a deliverer, and they wouldn't even have the ability to defend themselves. And the third thing is that there would be this believing remnant who would be delivered by this Messiah at his second coming, and the world would be judged. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to see that you spoke of both comings of the Messiah through your prophet Micah in relation to the nation of Israel. And Lord, may we long for that day, and may we desire to see you come as our deliverer from all of the wickedness that is in our world today. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 273.